Shang culture began in about 2000 BC. It ended with the overthrow of the last Shang ruler by a Shu ruler in 1027 BC. It was a dynasty. A dynasty that presided over a loosely knit, probably constantly changing kingdom. The archaeologists divide this same culture into three broad phases. And here we're looking at something bigger than just the Shang dynasty. The early Tu phase, from 2000 to 1760 BC, is technically early Shang civilization, but it actually coincides with the Hia dynasty. And really, it's better to think of these as dynasties, part of a cultural continuum. Then, in the subsequent early Gang phase, from 1760 to 1300 BC, you get the first phase of the Shang dynasty, whose rulers overthrew their Hia predecessor in the 18th century BC. Finally, the Anyang phase, which lasted from 1300 to 1027 BC, began with the move of the royal capital to the city of Anyang, an enormous site, a spread out and dispersed capital, which extended nearly 4 miles along the Huan River. So you have these phases, you have these dynasties. What exactly were the shape of these civilizations? From the very beginning, and here again I'm a little bit reminded of the pharaohs of Egypt, both Hia and Shang rulers lived apart from the common people. They lived in what one can only describe as splendid isolation. The commoners lived clustered around the royal compounds. These rulers lived in compounds, or in rural villages in the hinterland of centers like Anyang. Some Chinese historians, for example, it's very apt, refer to a green circle of farming villages which surrounded the royal centers, the compounds. And this green circle epitomizes the vast social chasm that separated the elite from the skilled artisan and the artisan from the commoner. In some ways, early Chinese states were the ultimate in social pyramids. Shang cities were much larger than Longshanoid enclosures, with some fortified areas enclosing the staggering amount of 800 acres. At the city of Shengzhou, an immense compound with rammed earth walls extended 4.5 miles around and reached a height of 30 feet in places, separating the royal precincts from a halo of sites around the main royal compound, bronze workshops, cemeteries, pottery kilns, and commoners' dwellings. Anyang, the first Shang city to be excavated in the 1920s and 30s, was even larger, but it lacked the huge enclosure wall at Shengshu. A ritual center covered about 2.5 acres, part palace and part temple, surrounded by cemeteries for nobles and commoners, and by all manner of artisans' workshops and farming villages. It's probably more accurate to refer to Shang cities as urban clusters, for they were far more dispersed than later compact, densely populated Chinese cities. Anyang is famous for its royal tombs, which tell us much of the nature of the Shang elite. They were found in a cemetery of 1,200 burials. The 13 royal sepulchres stand out because of their size and their contents. 8 of them were cruciform-shaped, with a wooden burial chamber in the center of the pit. It was richly decorated and lacquered.